Hi everybody, this is Jeremy from In Bed by Nine. Hope you enjoy today's episode. If you're enjoying the episode and wondering how you can support the show, there are several ways you can go about this. First one would be to leave a rating on your preferred platform. The second one would be to leave a review. I know not all platforms have the option to leave a review. So if you can't on your platform, consider going to Podchaser and leaving a review there. Reviews help us get out there, help folks who might be on the fence or looking for something similar to things that they like. Just get the show in front of new people. And then finally, if you haven't subscribed to the show on, again, your preferred platform, please do so. And also feel free to share it with a friend. Word of mouth is such a powerful tool still in the digital age. On to today's episode, and I hope you enjoy it.
Welcome into another In Bed by Nine. It's Alex here, hanging out with Jeremy. Jeremy, how has your last like 4 days been? Because we did a Friday podcast.
Yeah, a little shorter than normal, but yeah, no, it's been good. Insanely busy. I was kind of happy that we finally got rid of rain, but then yeah, guess what? It rained this afternoon, even though it wasn't supposed to. So it kind of ruined everything. Just about everything today. Had kids softball. When you got kids, you plan these things out, and the weather is your worst enemy. So I had to pull an audible from going to softball practice to taking three kids to taekwondo instead. So
there you go.
We did that, but they started tests. They got a head start. We were the only ones that showed up for taekwondo on a Tuesday, which was kind of weird because it was just one of the busier days. And so we got all the kids out of there. They got to start testing for their next rank belt. So I turned that L into a some kind of W, and I don't know how I did it, but hey, it's done. I'm not going to question and trust the process. So how about you, man?
Dude, this weekend was a gore fest. I'll say that much. Start with the positive. I'll throw that out there first. We had our first second soccer game where I was coaching. The kids actually scored two goals, but I have actually finally met those parents on the other side of the line that just blow up kids. Like, these are first graders, mind you. Oh, and yeah. I had this parent losing their mind because the ball didn't really go in their goal. I'm doing air quotes for the people that are listening. And the other team coach and I looked at each other and went, it went in the goal. And she's like, no, you can't say that. It's officially didn't go in. And we looked at both of her and like, this is no ref, no goalie, kids playing soccer. Please. Got it.
It's only going to get better. My brother, I've coached teams. My brother actually coaches his daughter's team competitively, and his son, and he deals with, they do travel competitive now. So I mean, it's worse. I mean, they have security at these games. But it's so bad.
The problem happens is it bleeds into the players because now the players are starting, their team was starting to get all,
they think they're being screwed. Oh yeah. Oh,
well, they started getting all, you know, into my players' faces, and I know the kids, because they're actually friends of my son, and I'm sitting here and they're getting in their faces. I'm like, there's gonna be a brawl in the soccer field. Like, this is hilarious. Which didn't happen, but it was good though. It was fun.
Oh, yeah.
I go, kids, I support you that you were standing up for your teammates and you were standing up for your roles and supporting each other. But long as you didn't throw fists, we're all good.
Gonna have to do an episode on parents vicariously living through their athletic kids.
It was really bad.
It's beautiful.
That was that. And then the dishwasher broke, so I had to go and find a new dishwasher and build that. So, no, parent life.
Yeah.
So I wasn't expecting to spend $500 in the dishwasher, but I did. So donations are open for me and my dishwasher. Just
we'll have the donation link in below with the show notes. There you go.
That was ridiculous.
Please buy merchandise. Lots of it. $100 minimum purchase. Yes,
please. Dishwashers. But yeah, I also realized that dishwashers are not in stores anymore. You have to like order half of them, which is really
cool. Yeah. No, they don't. There's nothing. It's all digital.
Well, I found one, so I was happy. But yeah, that was the weekend, and I swear it a lot, cuss a lot. Have you ever seen this Christmas story when the dad goes downstairs and there's like rapple, flapple, flop, flap, flap? That was me all day on Sunday. So I kept breaking parts and stuff. But nothing's flooded.
So put a GoPro on you.
Yeah, that's what it was. But we're babbling, and this time we actually have a guest that wanted to hang out with us today. And who do we have there, Jeremy?
Hey, I'd like everybody to give a warm in bed by nine welcome to Jurassic Nate. How are you doing,
hi.
Sir?
Hi. I'm doing all right. A little nervous, but, you know, I'm excited.
Oh, don't be nervous. But first off, this is what I ask everybody that joins us. Give us your elevator speech. Who are you? What do you? What's your favorite color? Is up and down and left and right?
Down is up and left is diagonal.
Okay, cool, cool.
Yes.
Favorite color is blue.
I couldn't tell by your video.
absolutely no. No, no. No, it's an illusion. But the spell I usually give, like, whenever I get raised is, like, I'm Jurassic Nate. I'm a variety streamer who focuses primarily on single-player games, narrative-driven games. Very rarely will I play multiplayer games, and even then, it's, like, co-op games. Like, currently I'm playing through some Halo with some friends. Heck, right now I'm doing Days Gone, just finished Mass Effect 3 for the millionth time in my life.
Beautiful.
starting Andromeda next week. Doing Far Cry 4, doing Fallout 3, and starting Assassin's Creed Brotherhood because I'm going through the entire Assassin's Creed franchise. And then every other Friday is the Halo co-op.
That's nice. First off, appreciate the Halo. I like Halo a lot. Next question, what's your favorite Assassin's Creed so far?
Well, the only two I haven't played are Unity and Rogue.
Okay.
I've played all the others. Obviously, you know, Black Flag's high up there. I really love the new system in the Origins Odyssey Valhalla trilogy.
Okay.
And as much as I love Valhalla as a game, it didn't need to be called Assassin's Creed. Because it just feels too much not like Assassin's Creed.
Mm-hmm.
It, like, if it had just been a Vikings game, it would have been amazing. But
yeah,
obviously, you know, the Ezio trilogy, you know, you can't top those. I really enjoyed Origins and Odyssey, and I'm excited for that. I think it's called, it doesn't have an official name yet, but the Code Red, Codename Red, coming out supposedly at the end of the year, but I'm not believing that.
For Assassin's Creed,
yeah, it's supposed to be a in the same style as Origins, Odyssey, and Valhalla, but it takes place in feudal Japan.
Oh, I heard. I saw that. I saw a flyer for that. I have no hopes for that. I really don't.
Because we've waited so long for a Japanese setting Assassin's Creed and now we're finally getting it. It's going to suck.
No, well, what was it, Rogue? The, like, side-scroller. Isn't that in China?
No, those are the Chronicle games.
The Chronicles, that's what it was. I can't remember.
Those are the Chronicle games. I believe those were initially, I think those were PSP. I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah, but they were. I'm
pretty
sure
those were PSP.
It was PSP. It was like you could play on an emulator, but they're size.
Yeah. Yeah. Heck, they're on. I have them on PlayStation. So they're on the PlayStation systems now. But I believe when they first came out, those were PSP games. So.
I mean, they're saying March 2025.
It's ambitious. That's all I'm gonna say.
I don't know. I have hopes for it, but I don't know. They take a long time to get these.
They have like five games in the works for Assassin's Creed. They have one called Hex, Jade, which I believe Jade is the mobile game.
Yeah.
For iOS and Apple.
Yeah.
Which I and then the Codename Red, which that's the name of.
It looks good. I want to do Red. Red looks cool. I remember seeing this because, like, you're a ninja, and I'm like, that's super cool. I'm down with that. So, well,
yeah,
all right.
That's me. Hi.
Hi. Well, welcome in. All right. So, you streaming a lot. How long have you been streaming for?
I started in March 2021 and had hit a few snags along the way between family issues because I live with my grandparents. Okay. And I'm basically a caretaker for them, help take care of them during the day and the stream at night. So this is kind of like my keeping me sane.
Yeah, fair it's enough. Fair.
But it's been great. It's been fun. I was really nervous to start my first stream because I had this mindset that streaming was cutthroat and that like everyone was like out for themselves. But when I started, I quickly discovered that was not the case. And just how welcoming other people were, so long as you didn't come into the stream and say, "Hey, I'm streaming, want to come hang out?"
Or, hey,
Yeah.
let's upgrade your stream. Let me have you.
Oh my God.
I'm a graphic
Hey,
artist. I can help you.
your stuff looks fine, but I can make it better.
Yeah, I have a bunch
No.
of friends that I could pay. I mean, you can,
Yes.
I mean, pay me. I mean, they'll come hang out with you if you give me money.
Yes,
Now I'm not.
I need a Twitch graphic that says banned. Yeah, you can start working on that for me.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, what got you
Yeah,
into streaming to begin with?
Well, I've been a nerd basically my entire life. But it's been, I'll tell you my inspiration was the group Team Four Star. They have a gaming channel called TFS Gaming. And I would watch all their stuff like all the time back in 2014, 2015. And the more, like, it was just them sitting there just playing through games and cutting up and laughing. And the more I watched that, the more I watched them, the more I was like, I want to do this. This would be fun. But I was just never in a position to do that. Well, in 2021, COVID hit and all the stimulus checks were coming out. I was finally able to get a mic, get a webcam, and the capture card. And so I finally decided, you know what? I'm gonna give this a shot. And I want to say it was March 21st, 2021. A dream set. This is the way I like to say it in my head. It's so damn corny. I don't know if I could cuss. I'm sorry.
Oh, no,
You're
you're
fine.
good. Yeah, you're good.
It's so corny, but in my head, I describe it as on March 21st, a dream 7 years in the making finally came true.
All right. Like that.
Yeah.
Because obviously, oh yeah, I love playing video games and like what having people just playing video games so on video for people to watch. But it's just I quickly video game. It is building a community. It's that, oh, I'm live. Oh, hey, person. Like, no, I've made real, genuine friendships through Twitter. And these are people that I never would have met. So, like, that's just one of my favorite things. Because I met some people who I consider like best friends on this platform.
Yeah.
So,
It is, I agree with you on that. It's, you start, it expands your little pool of people that you run into more, and it does allow you to get a little bit into their lives and you interact a little bit more and you start to see some strong connections with people, which is cool.
Like August 2022, I had some friends come out for my birthday that I met on Twitch, and I met them in person for the first time. And just the feeling of meeting your Twitch friends in person for the first time is just you can't. And we all just spent together just laughing and cutting up and just having the greatest time.
That's cool.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's something that I've heard a few people that we've had on here say that it's just like you've known these people for 10 or 15 years and
It literally feels like that. Like,
yeah.
I have to for like 2.5 to 3 years. It feels like I've known them for 10.
Yeah.
So.
It's
So
that's really cool.
good. Good. I
Yeah.
apologize. I'm looking at him. I'm gonna put out here. I've got kids sleeping. I'm alone tonight, so I'm kind of keeping an eye on multiple things in my windows here. But I'm not trying to degrade. But that's cool. So you're streaming. When you think about your streaming, I guess you're there, when you're doing stuff, are you primarily looking at the focus of just creating a space where people are just going to come and hang out and, as you said, cut it up and just have fun talking with you all the time while you're gaming? Okay. So is that
like sometimes like sometimes, you know, I'll be engaged in the game. Like during a cutscene, I won't read chat, I won't look at anything, but for the most part I'm just doing my thing, and whenever someone comes in, it's like, hey, how's it going? And, you know, just chat with them.
So why do you primarily do first person or like solo games?
Well, it's not so much first person, it's just single player. And
like, single player, I'm sorry.
That's just the games I've always preferred to play. I've never really been like PvP, PvE, no, PvP, I can't do. Call of Duty game, like games like Call of Duty, Valorant, Fortnite, you will never see me play. Like where you're playing against other people, that's just not where I get my enjoyment out of video games. It's just never been my thing. I'd rather just, like, I prefer games with, like, good stories. Like, one of my favorite games is Horizon Zero Dawn. And my favorite video game franchise is Mass Effect.
All right.
And so I prefer games with, like, narratives, with story.
Okay, so I got to ask you, do you like a lot of the games? So, obviously, being a Mass Effect fan, do you like a lot of like the Bethesda type games, where, like, where you have choices, or does it matter if it's a linear story, like a Final Fantasy game? Or
it depends. Like, I can take both of them.
Okay,
I can take games that are just linear. Like, okay, here's this level, here's this level, here's this level, here's this level, and then I can do games that are like Red Dead 2, Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah,
another one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so I do got to ask this follow up. As I love Mass Effect myself, and I do this, like, I've done it, like, I'm sure you've played, like, the KOTOR games, like,
Knights of the Old Republic. Oh,
so,
my God.
How do you, are you good? Are you bad? I got to ask this question. How do you go through them?
I'm basic. Like, I'm Paragon. Like, I'm the good guy. But in, like, Knights of the Old Republic, there's this thing you can do. You play through the entire game as a light side. But when you get to a certain planet, you can immediately just
you gotta make a decision. And I know
that's one of
my favorite games of all time.
Like I've done that so many times. Like I played that game at least 30 times growing up, and I would always alternate which ending I got because I would always do light side first because I like being the good guy, and then I would do the light side, get to that planet, boom, heel turn. And on dark side.
See, I typically go through as dark side in that game. So like
that makes sense.
Like using HK-47 the robot, and you know, like I love those beating up on those meat bags and organic meat bag. That's the word. And then go ahead. Let me hear it.
My problem is I'm too nice, and I don't like being mean. A lot of times in video games.
See, and that's never stopped me. Like my commander Shepard isn't a very nice guy either. So he punches reporters. He does all that stuff. So.
Oh, that bitch gets a fist right to the face.
Love it.
Like that reporter. Like there's some like in when Mass Effect 2 and 3, you know, they introduced the hit the right trigger for the Paragon or the Renegade options. There are some Renegade options you just can't not do. For example, Mass Effect 3, that was for Thane, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
If you never hit that button, you shouldn't be playing Mass Effect
3. You've never played the game. Exactly. You've never truly experienced
the game. You punch the Quarian Admiral in the gut for almost killing you on the Dreadnought.
Yep.
When you're doing Morton's loyalty mission, that Krogan just won't shut up and you shoot the tank underneath them. It's like small things like that. Like, I just can't not do those.
Exactly.
Headbutt it's too tempting. Krogan, headbutt the Krogan for talking trash about Grunt. It's like, that's my son you're talking about. You better back up. And he's just like, a human doesn't know strength. Headbutts. The fuck?
You have no idea, people. Love it.
Now when I'm playing games like Fallout, everyone's dying.
Everyone's dead.
I will pick the team that I want to stick with. Everyone else is forfeit. I don't care.
I can respect that.
It's fine. Sometimes you gotta just let that villain fly, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You gotta let him out. You gotta let him out of him as well. So you do Halo, which I'm a fan with. I'm with you. Which Halo are you playing?
I actually think we're going to finish Halo 2 Friday, and then there's going to be a couple of weeks break because we only do it every other Friday because one of the friends works the following day.
You know? Okay. So are you playing like against each other? Just co-op play.
Okay. Just co-op.
I do like
Halo. But we're excited for Halo 3 here in a few weeks because, like I said, we do every other week. Well, the next week that is, you know, supposed to be Halo night, I'm going to see Gabriel Iglesias live.
Oh, okay, yeah, fair.
So I got to go see my favorite comedian.
Yes.
With whom I share a nickname.
Fluffy?
My nickname is Fluffy.
Okay, that makes sense.
See, I wonder why.
So yeah, I let's see. When I think of the Halo games, like I personally,
I hate the library.
Yes, I hate the library.
I hate the flood.
One was good. Well, yeah, they kind of grow on you a little bit. No pun intended. But boom. I think three, if I remember right, three was not my favorite one. Because I remember going to Game Workshop or GameStop and waiting in line, picking up the game because I, you know, took time off school, got the game, everyone got home, and I beat it in that night. And I was very depressed.
Well, that game was like one of the first big titles for 360. So
yeah, that's what it was. And it was, I felt like there was, I remember beating it and going, that's it. Yeah.
What game did I do that?
Yeah. And so, but
I had a couple games that ended like that.
Yeah, you're just like, you went like, well, that sucked. And then I gotta say, like, ODST redeemed it for me, like the whole series. Not even Halo 4, like ODST did. That was it.
See, I haven't played ODST, so I'm really excited to get to that one.
That one redeems it for me a lot. There's a lot of those epic moments, like in Halo 1, like Comet Evolved, like you have those epic moments where like things go off. You're like, oh, that was so cool. Or like, just like, that was really fun. And then 2 was, kind of had a few of those. You know, dual wielding pistols. You know, that was pretty cool. And then 3 is like, and ODST has a lot of those. Just
okay, 3 had the cutscene where you finally had the Arbiter and Master Chief going back to back. And that will forever be one of my favorite video game shots.
Yes, it's a good. I mean,
of them back to back, trade one enemy for another. It's like, oh yeah. My god.
Yeah, there's parts of it. It was like a game that kind of like got it to the next game. It got it to Halo 4, got it to the next Halos, and like it got it there. It's just,
I feel like there was a little break between 3 and 4 too.
Yeah, a long break, which was I think well necessary.
Yeah.
So.
But I will say this, like, especially about the Master Chief Collection. When, even before the Master Chief Collection, when they released the Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary Edition on 360 originally, like before the Xbox One came out, you know, everyone was so excited. Oh, they remastered Halo. This is going to be awesome. And you played it. I don't know about you, but I personally hated how it looked.
Yeah,
the new upgraded graphics, like especially in the opening cutscene, Captain Keyes just looked ridiculous.
I like to you turn it back. I always enjoyed that.
Yeah,
I played it and didn't realize I hit a button. And I'm like, okay.
I did that too on accident. I was like, wait, what button did I push? I want to know. I have to know to push that button every time I play this game now.
Yeah, it made me so excited. I was like, what did I press? But it looks normal now.
But the Master Chief Collection confuses me because you know you have it includes the Master Chief, the Combat Evolved Anniversary Edition.
Yeah.
2 feels like it was remade from the ground up, visually. Like, okay. Graphically, that game looks like just remade. That's not just a remaster.
Probably. It probably should have been. Like I said, 2 and 3 were very much, to my mind, was just like gateway games to get you...
2 was always meant to me, because I never liked the assault rifle, the battle rifle that was in there.
Yeah.
And the pistol, which is one of my favorite guns in Halo 1. They killed it. Was ruined into
it. Was ruined. I got you. No, I'm with you on that.
But it was cool, you know, because it was the first game where you could play as the
Arbiter.
As Arbiter, as the Elite, and it was actually really cool.
That was fun. I don't know, but I always say when I during that time, like I say, I grew up with, you know, playing LAN parties with Halo with all my friends, bringing our TVs over,
yeah,
and throw those in the basement. We have LAN parties, and that to me, that's gonna be the essence of gaming for me, is like when my friends all came over, we bought cases of Mountain Dew, my mom threw pizzas down the stairs, we had like curtains hanging from the ceilings, mm-hmm. the block screens, and like we would throw cans at each other, and you know, pizza boxes were everywhere, and then we didn't sleep
the same thing, but I will say we would sometimes alternate Halo with Brute Force.
Okay, yeah.
Like Brute Force was always another one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Like Brute Force, I feel like it should have gotten a lot more love, but I remember it was considered, oh, this is just a Halo knockoff. We went, rrr, rrr, rrr. It was still fun. I was playing as a crocodile guy.
Yeah. But, you know, once Microsoft messed up the organization 343, and it was all garbage anyway. So I feel like Halo just declined until the most recent one popped out.
I haven't played 5. I haven't played Infinite yet. That's why we're going to the series, because none of us have.
I liked Infinite. Infinite was really good. I enjoyed Infinite. I would say that much. 5 was better. Infinite was way better.
You see, you're the first person to say anything positive about Halo 5.
I don't mind. Like I said, I didn't mind it. It for me, ODST redeemed things. Halo 5 was a good story. It connected things. It kind of finalized some stuff for me. Story-wise. And the gameplay was not, you know, wasn't horrible. Little graspy as some straws, but overall I didn't mind 5. And then Infinite came out, and I really enjoyed Infinite. Like, I enjoyed the gameplay, I enjoyed how things kind of worked out, I enjoyed the map aspect of it, where I can kind of have decisions. Like, I could
wasn't Infinite more open world-esque?
It's more open world, yeah. Like, you can make a decision. Like, the best way to say it, like, in that game is like you have to invade a larger base. So you can decide, if I invade that base, I could just go for that base and just have everything hit me, or I can hit these smaller bases on the outside and like rebuild my marine components too to help me out. So it's kind of like that, where you kind of can, you know, hurt the supply line over here, do this, or you can just go in guns blazing, see what you can do.
Guns blazing, please.
Yeah, so I was just going to say, that was always my solution to every problem.
Well, okay, there's a picture, there's a lot of memes going around. It's like, okay, stealth fish. Meanwhile, I'm over here riding a velociraptor, riding a great white shark, carrying 2 bazookas to dual boot. It's like, let's go!
Yeah.
That's me.
I'm Assassin's Creed. I do all sneaky stuff, and all of a sudden, I'm like, you know what? I got a big hammer.
Listen, playing Assassin's Creed is like, oh, Nate's good at stealth. No, he ain't.
No.
No, he ain't.
I'm good at big hammer hitting B the right way.
It's I'm taking the Creed part of Assassin's Creed and taking reference from the Michael B. Jordan movies, Creed. I'm coming in. I'm swinging.
I was going to say, like, the band Creed. Because I go.
When
go
you in, are with me.
Just going flying. So I'm going to ask this. If you played Assassin's Creed, have you played, like, the Shadow of Mordor games?
They don't really hit me as much.
Oh, okay.
Like, I see the appeal of them, but for me, those, and this might be contradicting everything I've been saying for the past, I don't know, a little bit, the Shadow of Mordor games get repetitive after a while, and that kind of takes me out of it a little bit. Because you go, you kill orcs, this is fun, love that, favorite part. One kills you, they get stronger, and you come back, I'll remember you. And it's like I don't know. There's something about it that just doesn't grab me as much as I'm wanting it to.
I gotcha.
That's another thing about me. When it comes to video games, I am picky. Well, because one, finances. But on the other hand, like I will not play big games just because they're popular. Fun fact, I've never played The Witcher.
Okay, I'm with you on that. Witcher... Yeah.
But
I find it comical you say repetitiveness, because I think, like you mentioned, like how you like Valhalla, Odyssey, and the newer ones, I felt they were extremely repetitive.
I can kind of see that. But there's enough to make it not feel as repetitive at least for me. I'm meant to be weird.
Yeah.
In fact, I am weird, but I embrace it.
Well, because I'm a fan of the Shadow, I'm a fan of the Shadow of Mordor games over the Assassin's Creed games. Shadow of Mordor. I played that really well. I like the fact that the Nemesis system's in there, and Shadow of Mordor is okay. Like, it kind of does. I see the repetitiveness, but the Shadow of War, the second version of it, is, I think, way better. And I like the fact that if you have played the one game, the Nemesis system takes those characters and puts them into your game for the next one. And I thought it was pretty sweet because it calls you out pretty well.
I'm going to manage to replay him anyway, just to kind of give him another shot, because I haven't played him in a hot minute. So.
Which one?
Yes. The Shadow of Mordor.
Oh, Shadow, yeah.
Because I haven't played him in a hot minute, so maybe something changed. Because it's been a while since I played him. So
give him a chance.
Yeah.
And story wise, I think the story is really good because I'm a Lord of the Rings fan, so it ties into that.
And plus, I'm a huge fan of Troy Baker, so always a pleasure to be able to play as him.
Love it.
All right. And your wife is voiced by Laura Bailey. Come on, man.
So it's a fun game. Well, you mentioned you're in podcasts, so you do quite a bit of things. So I'm on here, and I clicked your, LinkedIn page, and TikTok, YouTube, merch, blah blah blah. What podcast are you on?
This is a funny story. I've got a podcast series called The Chaotic Codcast.
Okay.
And I love telling a story about this, just because it's kind of a jab at me, but it's a funny story. I had the idea a long time ago to do a podcast series where, I had people on and each episode was its own topic. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, I've done an episode entirely on Critical Role where I had Turf on. Yeah. Each of the Star Wars, each of the Marvel Cinematic Universe phases 1, 2, 3, 4, animated Disney, Star Wars, yada yada yada, Assassin's Creed. Well, I was trying to think of a clever title, and the community I came up with is called the Chaotic Sanctuary. So I wanted it to be some, chaotic, whatever. Well, we were trying to think of names for it, and my brain does this thing where it twists letters around and words that I'm going to say, because I talk too fast. And so I went to say podcast, but instead it came out codcast. And when this happens, I never notice it. So other people I'm talking to, they'll point it out. It's like, what did you say? I said podcast. No, you didn't. You said codcast. Did I?
I'm challenging you on that word.
And I was like, what? And it didn't take us long to put Chaotic Codcast together, and boom, the rest is history.
That's cool.
I like it.
It's one of those, I don't do it too often, but I'm trying to do it a little bit more often than I have in the past. But it's also one of those things, I don't want to rush into it.
Fair.
Yeah.
Even though I have a whole list of topics that I want to talk about, I've got one in particular I really want to do, make it special.
You're gonna drop a little hint here, or you're not gonna leave it? You're gonna leave it hanging?
I'll say it. I don't care. I'm wanting to do a dress apartment to cover the entire franchise from the first book to the new movie coming out next year. But it's one of those, I want it to be super special because Jurassic Park is my favorite movie of all time. Hence, Jurassic Nate. I'm boring. I'm Jurassic Nate because Jurassic Park's my favorite movie. My name is Nate. Boom. Mystery solved.
All right. We don't have to ask those 8 questions. We were going to try to figure out what its name was and what was Jurassic going Park. On with this. I like
Jurassic
it.
Jurassic Park is my favorite movie and my name is Nate. I'm really clever when it comes to naming my craft.
I don't know why we kept calling him Mike for the first time.
You mean to tell me your name's not Tony?
Yeah, I don't know about
that. Lied you.
I always figured your name would be Micah.
Yeah,
I don't know where you got that from.
Wait, who's been lying to me this whole time? No,
not me. Jokes on you. My name's Chris.
I love it.
But
No, I like that you're not just rushing into it, because that I had a podcast idea for the longest time, which ended up becoming this, was I had ideas, but I knew I wanted to do it with somebody, but I didn't know who. Like
That's
I'm
my biggest
sitting there,
problem.
I
Yeah.
didn't like, I was
I'm
so
always
picky.
afraid. Like I have no self-esteem. I have no self-confidence. And I always feel like whenever I think about reaching out to somebody, hey, I want to do this podcast. Would you want to be on this with me? I'm always afraid I'm being like a bother. Like, oh my God, this guy's annoying me. Stop talking to me.
You know
Yeah.
what? It
Because that's just
doesn't.
how I've always been. Like, that's
Yeah.
just always been my experience. So even in this, I'm always scared to approach people because I'm afraid of like being rejected. What's the worst they could say? No. That no is gonna hurt.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. But you know what though? People are more receptive to coming on to podcasts than I ever imagined in my
Yeah.
life. Just some of the people we've reached out to turn out to just be like, oh yeah, I'll do that. And then
Or people
you're
that reach
like,
out to us, like,
yeah, or
oh,
that'll be something too. Once you start doing, something more, people like will reach out and it's like, oh, this is really cool. But yeah, it's because it is. It's like the first couple times I'm like looking at this email. I'm like, oh man, I have to like sleep on this tonight because I have to make sure that I don't wake up and hate this because I'm only gonna get one chance to do this. One opportunity, and it's like, yeah, no,
Not spaghetti.
I do get it, but
With
yeah,
the
I
chaotic
mean,
podcast, I started with like just coming up with questions, like coming up with an itinerary. Okay, we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about this. But over the past several episodes, I've thrown that concept out the window. I just said, okay, so what's your first experience with whatever the topic is, and we just go from there. And I
Yeah.
find the more laid back aspect of that is much more enjoyable than, okay, so we're done talking about this topic. Okay, so now we're going to ask this question, and it feels like you're on a time crunch.
Yeah.
So I feel like that kind of takes away some of the fun. Whereas if you just, okay, we're going to talk about Star Wars. Go.
Yeah, the organicness behind it is gone. And the listeners do realize that when you start doing stuff like that, we do this way. The same way we keep it very organic. I really don't have a anything that I'm doing by my end. I think we do some research prior to you coming on, but other than that, I let you take control and we just enjoy it. And
I'm
so
just
it's
here.
organic.
I'm just here. I'm happy to be included.
Yes.
Well, it's always fun because yeah, I mean, you get in there and you get an idea of what this person, some of the stuff they do or stuff, and then it completely goes in a different direction. I'm like, oh man, like this is so cool. It's like, but yeah, no, I definitely like the more free flowing.
And then the other podcast that I have, it's less mine and more my friend's, but it's something that he and I both came up with together. But he does it on his channel. It's called Weekend Geek, and I do it with Big 893, who I've known for 10 years. Like, great guy.
Nice.
Like, it started off. He we wanted it to be, because if you see my Twitter, my Facebook, I double as a like a movie news page. Like any like all
Yeah.
the latest movie news, video games, and all this stuff,
Yeah.
I share it all. So we wanted it to be this podcast, like end of the week podcast, where we talk about the latest news that happened throughout the week. That lasted all of an episode and a half. Because I want to say it was the second episode. We got to talking about Legos somehow. And we got to talking about specifically the Star Wars Legos that came out for episode one back in 1999.
Oh gosh, I remember
And we fell down
those.
a nostalgia hole. And next thing you know, the entire podcast thing is nostalgia. Like we're talking about, because we both grew up in the 90s. And so we're just talking about, oh, favorite movies, favorite video games from the 90s, stores. You name it, we talked about it. And I'm sure there's plenty more stuff to come up. But right now, we're doing this quote unquote series where we go on Wikipedia and we go by like we go by year and we go we look at we alternate years. One person will list off the top 10 movies in the box office of that year, and the other person has to guess the top three. And then and then after we do that, we'll just kind of scroll through the whole year and see, oh, that came out this year. Okay, cool. And then just more just conversations. Oh, I forgot all about that movie. And you just start talking about whatever. Currently, we just finished 2009. And we're just going through all of them at this point. We're going through all the years.
Man, that sounds interesting.
That actually sounds really cool. Yeah.
And we're planning on doing that with the video games at some point as well.
Just go back in time.
Just, I'm very nostalgic.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah. I was just thinking about all those stores and stuff I used to go to as a kid.
Toss out here, random factoid. There is studies that show out that like the newer generation coming up that's in their 20s is pushing store buying stuff over online now.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be the assumption is a rebirth of the mall.
That's what I was just going to say. I'm like, I've actually been reading.
I saw somewhere, I forget where, and I might have looked at this wrong, but it looks like I saw that there was a store that sold 90s toys still like in their package.
Oh, wow.
There's a bunch of those. There's a few of them around that I've seen.
And I want to find that store just to just come with me and you'll be.
So there was, how about this? There was a store in, so I live in Michigan, in Ypsilanti, that was, I want to call it the 90s Rocket. I can't remember the name of it, but all it did was carry stuff from the 90s. So candy, toys, posters. They had some, but it was all, a lot of it was like reproduction stuff, but also was like, they had a few of the original stuff that you can buy that was collectible, but you
well, the movies and the toys and the posters like, and stuff. Yeah. But I'm not buying a pack of Skittles from 1994. I'm sorry.
No. But like, it would have like, you know, it would have,
you said
like,
recreation. So,
well, yeah, they would have like the novelty, like cans from the time. Cause those are still produced. They just don't sell them everywhere, you know? So,
and not only that, but food from back then doesn't taste the same nowadays.
Oh, that sugar was the way different flavor.
I don't know what sugar they use, but they need to go back to that or something.
All right. All right, Jeremy. Where are we at?
We are at about, we got about the 10-minute mark to
go. Good job. Well, so Jurassic Day, we're about that time. We're getting close to the end there. I knew it was coming up pretty soon. Jeremy was looking down. I was saying, where are we at, Jeremy? So before I dive into a little bit of the news world, like the little news stories and for our listeners, what is something you would want to leave our listeners with, that little nugget of information to kind of give them a nod to who you are and like what you kind of want to stand for there and maybe do something to help them out as a streamer?
Like give like tips and pointers, or
yeah, just the one nugget of information you feel is necessary to leave out there.
Don't play a game that you don't want to play just because it is the big hotness.
The big hotness, I like that.
Like,
I
like it. Like for example, like me for example, and this is probably going to step on some toes. I hate Fortnite.
I can't cancel stream. Done.
This interview's over. No,
I've just never been a fan of that game, so I'm never going to play it. If you don't like a game, don't play it just because it is like in the top two games on Twitch. You play games that you want to play. It doesn't matter their popularity. It doesn't matter anything, because there's an audience for every single game that is ever made.
100%.
Don't pretend to be someone that you're not. Be yourself.
I was going to say one more thing on top of that.
What you see, what you see here is what you get.
Exactly, but there people are there for you, the creator, as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
It's who you are. Your name becomes you, and you become your name.
And if you look on his, in his About Me on his Twitch, it doesn't say he's the best video game player.
Oh, no, I'm not.
So.
Oh no! I've got this running thing where I say I am the mediocrest gamer you'll ever see.
We are close to copyright infringement, sir.
He is the mid best in the Midwest, so
I will accept. I forgot that there was like some like mediocrest or something.
No, I'm messing with you.
Well, I know there's someone who like there's someone who goes by a similar name. So like, you'd be right.
Yeah. No, I know some people are probably stealing my tag.
So. I am mid at best.
Ooh, I like
mid
that.
Mid at best. Sounds studious. I like it.
Oh my God, that's going to be my new thing.
There you go.
I like it.
Are you a good gamer? I am mid at best.
Yes. On a good day, when the sun is out and the wind is favorable, this is what you get. All right. Well, so thank you, but we're going to dive. I'm going to dive into some news real quick. Don't run away. Please stick around. Don't turn off your camera.
If I'm running, y'all better run too, because something's going to kill me. If you don't run, my guy.
I'm not a runner either. All right. So Twitch news-wise, the biggest news out there right now, throw out here with the Twitch world, was the giant cancellation of your subs. I don't know if you've seen online through Zach Bushy and a few other streamer content creator news article people, they kind of released some of the information of like, hey, this is the letters that streamers got, and this is the letters that content creators got for anyone that got their streamers canceled. Cool thing that Twitch did, I'm gonna throw this out here, is if it got canceled, they paid for that month to the people that got canceled. So oh, if wow. you had like 100 streamers and they all got canceled, Twitch paid you for those streamers for that month, and wow. the content creators got the streamers. The people that followed you got a free month. So good on Twitch for doing that, because that was a giant, you know, kick in the shins. And then they reinstated the sub streak for everybody. So everything went back to pretty much normal. And I give, you know, Twitch a nod and hat for that one. That was pretty sweet for them. So if you lost content creators, or if you lost streamers, or streamers, if you lost followers or subs, you got them back. So it's pretty cool. So that's nice. Follower thing, though, is still kind of up in the air, because I lost a lot of my people I was following. I had to go back and refollow a ton of people. But that's pretty sweet. Traveling Outdoors is now going to be renamed IRL Streams. So for some reason, when I say IRL, I think of MTV for some reason. I don't know why. But
it's just that 90s baby in you.
Yeah, it just goes right to MTV for me. So
mine went to Pop Up Video.
Yeah, you know, like right away. It went right to that. Yeah, so if you are listening and you know what we're talking about, please, for some reason, in IRL Streams, do Pop Up Videos. I would love that. Discovery feed on the mobile is again trying to be expanded and fixed by October is what they're looking at here, is making that a little bit more favorable on the mobile app, which is super nice. Again, I think I talked about this recently in the last one, is about how the sub and follower goals are being automatically updated for you now. So if you do activate that in the Twitch, that they will automatically give you an actual reasonable number to reach for. And then once you reach that number, it gives you another reasonable number to reach for after that to kind of keep you, you know, going. So you can say, oh, I made 100 followers. Let me aim for 700. No, maybe you want to go for 200.
That's a stretch.
Don't yes, it does a really good job of going, maybe you're crazy. Let's bring it down. So nice. Let's see here, going through here. Clancy is out running around doing crazy things again. People are saying he got out of the van and is traveling around Japan. So that's interesting. Let's see here. There has been some studies out there. What's kind of that one's, everyone knows that one. Truth Social is launching its own live streaming platform.
Another one,
that's terrifying. Let's put that out there. Jeremy knows why I say it's terrifying, because we had a late night conversation of just the amount of hate speech that can be put on those platforms, and I was just mind-boggling, lost in the the death and destruction that was out on Twitter.
Just think of the lack of moderation that's shown up on platforms like Twitter and Kick and some other stuff. And I just see all that being rolled into one. So that'll be interesting.
Just that hate speech was just horrible. So I'm not going to bring that here because I don't want to. There was just too much. Just know it's out there and be safe, everybody. Amazon's bringing back Amazon Live with Prime Video with Freevee. So that means, yeah, we'll see some stuff on the internet some more, I guess, on your TV. TikTok is still on the chopping block here to be divested here in the United States. To be honest, I see it happening because they're, you know, if you know anything about bills and not to get political or anything, they're tossing it with tying it to different entities and trying to rope it in with a bunch of different bills. So like, if you have to vote for this, you're going to get this too, type situation. So might happen. So please, if you use TikTok, if you use TikTok primarily for your engagement piece, honestly, look to YouTube, look to other platforms. And, you know, and this is best evidence. Don't put all your eggs in one basket type thing. So definitely look to expand beyond that here when you work on anything. So heads up on that.
Consider Pinterest.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was going to say that is a very Meta. fair alternative. And then it's probably going to be about a, you know, it'll go through a legal process, things like that. But it'll probably be about a year before anything starts really moving, even the way the bill was written. And everything.
It's going to probably go in that. It's probably going to go to the House. The House is going to fight it. Or the courts. The courts are going to fight it back and forth. But to be honest, I think that TikTok to the point might just went, you know what? We'll just deinvest the money out of the States anyways and just move on and just let it flounder. And then it'll come back in a year or two once regimes change again or something. I don't know.
Or something else will come in its place.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Facebook will have something crazy pop up.
It's MySpace back.
Did you see on the case of MySpace, Tom? MySpace Tom. He reposted a photo of himself. And the man looks immaculate.
MySpace 2.0, please, Tom.
Like, please, he made.
I'll be your friend.
I mean, he sold.
I'll make him my top friend.
He sold MySpace for what, like 5.8 million or a huge amount of money, billions of dollars, whatever. I can't remember. But like, there's a photo of him going around right now that he's never taken a photo since then or posted online, and he posted it on his Instagram page or something like that. And the man looks like tan, shirt open, buff, clean. I'm like, dude, you got to be closer to your 60s, 50s, 60s, and you look like you're 20, man. Like, oh, my God. So, yeah, go look for Tom online. You'll be amazed. You'll be surprised. It threw me for a loop.
Never quickly started to go search for a shirtless man before, but hey. No.
I'm dying, Jeremy. Don't do that to me. So, yeah, that's kind of the big news there. I do got through it. So I'm also a big fan of Terrence Heller, and he did a really good special on mics. And I think he's a very, you know, one thing, he's a sound guy, and I do listen to him, his mics, and understanding like how to do sound from him, because he does experience sound. He uses a lot of evidence to support his thoughts, and he destroyed a bunch of microphones and companies, and I really appreciate it for it. So if you haven't seen that one, please go check out Harris Heller's talking about what mics not to buy.
Can you throw me two out there? Because I'm going to be in the next mic shopping in the next 6 months. So.
Well, he throws out like Elgato is one of the bigger ones. He's like, if it's a gaming company, don't buy their mic. So he's like, SteelSeries is pretty bad. He threw a Razer under the bus. He threw who else? Logitech. He's like, if they're not an audio company, don't mess with them.
Fair.
So he's that like Elgato. He threw in I'm trying to think of the ones at the top of my head. I can't think of them all right now.
Razer, Yeti.
No, Yeti was down on the garbage pile.
Hmm.
Razer was down there as well. He didn't say Razer was one thing or another. He's like, it's not my favorite. He gave three big ones. But it's like Elgato was the cheap. There's a middle range one, and Beacon,
and more like really expensive one. So he said, out of all three, he goes, this is your options for many reasons. One being that,
talking about, but I can't remember because
I can't think of the more expensive one. It's so it's more of like an audio mic that you would use for it was Elgato Beacon, and I can't remember the other one.
Y'all have to link me this later.
So yes, we'll edit it here because it sounds worse here. But he does a really good job explaining these different mics below and how they're not really good. And
what was his name again?
Harris Heller.
Harris. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched a lot of his stuff when I was really getting started to try to figure out stuff.
He does a lot of, you know, if you don't check him out, but like when it comes to sound, he's a really good, you know, gives a really good example on that. And I kind of, you know, I follow him for his videos on streaming. He does a really good job explaining details and stuff like that. Yeah. But he does a really good job diving through some stuff, what I thought was really interesting. I can't find it right now, but I will send it to Jeremy so he can link it. So it's in the show notes. But I am talking a lot and we have passed our time, Jeremy.
What shame on you for being interesting.
It's my fault.
It usually doesn't happen.
It's my fault.
Sorry. I to be somewhat mean today. I feel like I've been too nice now. But
he has to make me feel horrible.
That's right. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes. Keeps me humble. All right. Well, Jurassic Nate, we appreciate you coming on here and hanging out with us for this hour.
Thank you for having me. This was fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Always is. And I appreciate, and I know that our listeners appreciate listening to you talk and telling your stories. So, Jeremy, anything else to go before I say the magic word?
Yeah, just if you haven't recommended the podcast to a friend, please do that. That is always the biggest form of help we can get. It's just, you know, getting us to a new set of ears. If you are, you know, if you really like the podcast, leave a review on whatever platform you listen to us on. That's another way it just really helps discoverability and getting to that new set of ears so we can, you know, horrify them with our voices. But hey, that's all I've got. So.
Oh, hey, you know what you also forgot? The merch. Check our merch store out. We have a lot of stuff out there. Anyways, potatoes.